All right, hello and welcome into the Killer Frogs bullpen. This is our 10th episode. We've hit double digits and I'm joined by Carson. Carson, how are you today?
I'm doing good. As you've said, 10th episode, we didn't get kicked off.
No.
That's great. That's a win in my book. I'm loving it.
Yeah, we made it to double digits and we have a new mainstay and a new player joining us in Nate, but Nate can't make it for tonight. He's got a night class, but you guys will see him back Monday. Yeah, I know. Guy chose school over this. Who would have thought?
Why?
We got a pretty light episode tonight. We're gonna talk about the TCU victory over UTA on Tuesday. We'll go into a little bit more questions, and then we have the Oklahoma State preview for the weekend. We'll preview a little bit of the Big 12 as a whole, overall as a conference, do our MVP recap and preview. But let's go ahead and kick it off. TCU got back in the winning column. On Tuesday night, they played the UTA. They won 7-3. Kind of saw a little bit of a bullpen game going on from the team. Ben Hampton came in relief. Didn't actually start the game though. Just go ahead and give me your overall thoughts on the game. After TCU getting the win again, Carson.
I mean, I think it's good to get back in the win column. I am putting an asterisk on this because, I mean, you've got guys that are topping out at 90 miles an hour in this game. So you're not seeing Big 12 pitching. You're not seeing clean pitching. Okay. And it's great that TCU started hitting the ball. I think that was the first game with over 10 hits since like week two. So that's really good. But I mean, I don't know if I'm putting a lot of stock into that win the other night.
No, yeah. I mean, it was definitely they're playing a really bad competition. But as far as it goes, you only play the guys that are on your schedule, and winning against them is the biggest thing you can do. Carson, we saw a bullpen game going into it. We talked about on Monday night with Nate about what we thought was going to go into it. Your boy Mason Bixby got his first career start for the Frogs. Two innings out of him, one strikeout, three walks. And then we went to Zach Morris, saw him out of the bullpen. He looked a little shaky to start because he had a base on ball and a hit by pitch, but he got two strikeouts, got out of the innings with no runs allowed. We saw Storm Hierholzer come into the game, one inning pitched. He looked really good to start out. Ben Hampton came in, one inning pitched, three earned runs, the only TCU pitcher to allow runs on the day. Cademan Parker came in with an inning, no or three strikeouts, one walk, one hit allowed. Then Chase Hoover came in, four strikeouts, 1.2 innings pitched, one walk. Zachary Coyer came in after that for literally got the last out of the inning. That was all they needed him for. One strikeout. He got the job done with the bases loaded. And then Ben Abelt came in with two strikeouts and closed out the game. Who impressed you the most out of that? Everyone, we saw everything in the kitchen sink got thrown at us, but who impressed you the most?
Probably Storm Hierholzer. I really liked what I saw from him, especially the off-speed stuff. And I think I would also throw, I feel like I would also throw Ben Abelt in there, just because I think that he gets better with each time that we see him since he started kind of falling off. I expect him to go to be back to his usual self this weekend.
Yeah, it was nice to see Abel getting back out there and looking like his normal self and not really allowing any much happening on the base pass or in the batter's box. But I think I'm gonna have to go with Chase Hoover for impress me the most. There's kind of been a lot of question marks going around about what Chase Hoover you're getting out of the bullpen every time he comes out, and we got the really good Chase Hoover this time, and it's now two times in a row that we've gotten the really good Chase Hoover, and kind of excites me that maybe he's piecing things together as a whole now.
I mean, yeah,
Because,
he has the stuff to do it. I mean, he's got the low 90s fastball with killer breaking stuff. It's been the control and the consistency this entire time.
yeah, I think control's still gonna be a major thing on the night. The TCU pitching staff still allow 10 walks on the night as a whole.
I mean, that's a red flag. I mean, is it not?
Yeah, the only pitcher that didn't allow a walk was Zachary Coyer, and he pitched to one batter and got a strikeout. And he was the only one not to allow a walk. Mason Bixby had three, Morris one, Hierholzer one, Hampton two, Parker one, Hoover one, and Abelt one. And I understand it's only maybe one walk in one inning, but allowing basically a little over a walk an inning is not a good rate to be at. And we've seen TCU kind of get killed a little bit by the walks. And I think it's still something that needs to be worked on. But I do want to talk about Kirk Starless did get ejected in that game. One of the softest rejections I've ever seen.
Yes, that was terrible. Oh my God.
It was awful. As a college player yourself, Carson, when that happens, you does it fire you up a little bit more, or
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you see your coach stick your neck out like that for you, that essentially just pisses you off, right? And then you just kind of want to go win the game for him. So what I would say to people that didn't like that Sarlos got ejected, wait until you see them play this weekend and see if they look like a different team, because I could see it happening.
And then for the TCU offense on the night, Curtis Byrne hit a home run, Ryder Robinson hit a home run. Everyone racked up a hit in this one except for Peyton Chatagnier and Chase Brunson. Everyone else got at least one hit on the night. As far for the hitting production, who impressed you the most, Carson?
Brody Green, as much as I know that you would have loved to say that,
No,
it's
I
Brody.
wanted to hear it from your mouth this time.
It's Brody Green. He is, and it's not that he's just pissing on balls where the exit velo is like 105, 110. No, he just gets hits. It's not home run power. He just gets on base, man. He is a pure just hitter.
No, yeah, Brody Green was 3 for 3 on the night. And, to speak more on what you said about the exit velo thing is you saw it in the last at bat that Brody Green had where he drove in 2 runs in the 6th inning. He kind of just puts the bat on the ball and he gets the job done. And it's something that TCU offense has kind of been lacking on the season. Brody Green had a .460 average, which is leading the team, even though he wasn't a qualified hitter. After the Tuesday performance, he has a .500 average now on the year. Brody Green's a real problem, and he's going to be a real problem for opposing pitchers, and we'll just kind of have to decide if see if he's going to be in the lineup for the rest of the season. But Peyton Chatagnier hitless, he got the DH spot, kind of a slower night. Are we kind of concerned a little bit about him? Average dropped to .231 on the season.
A little bit. I mean, I won't lie. I was huge on Chatagnier the first 2 weeks, and I still am. I do think that he brings a veteran presence to the TCU team that needs it. And I don't. The reason I'm a little bit worried is because I think he's trying to hit for power a little bit too much, where the leadoff guy doesn't really need to do that. But I obviously he's a smart guy. He's here for a reason. He's at a top program for a reason. I think he's going to get it figured out pretty quick.
Yeah, no, and I kind of agree that I'm not really as much worried. The only thing that does scare me a little bit with Chatagnier is that his fly ball percent is at 58%. Only
It's a
one
lot.
other TCU player is above 40, and that's Carson Bowen. It's just kind of something that I know he did the same thing at Ole Miss, but Ole Miss, he kind of had a better lineup whenever they won the national championship that could kind of protect him from that. But I think it's just kind of maybe not even a bad thing. Maybe it's just that was the SEC way, is you're trying to hit everything as hard as you can, and it's kind of just not the TCU way, which we kind of saw them get back to a little bit, minus the 2 home runs, which was a little uncharacteristic. But
I
speaking
mean,
of the,
I would love to see Chatagnier lay down a bunt and try and play small ball a little bit. I'd love to see it.
We saw Chatagnier not in the leadoff spot this time. Your boy Logan Maxwell was there. What did you know? You do you like Peyton Chatagnier kind of sliding down to that 2 spot a little bit?
I think right now, yes. With the way he's hitting, I don't think that's a bad thing. I would rather have somebody that's feeling themselves at the plate right now, like Logan Maxwell or Brody Green, if the opportunity arises.
One last thing I think I want to touch on for the Tuesday night game, unless you have something else, is Ben Hampton kind of came in relief there. We kind of saw a bullpen game. That's the second time this season we've seen a bullpen game on a Tuesday night. How are you feeling about him? You kind of wish that we'd kind of see a traditional starter, or do you kind of like it because, like we talked about, it's get work for the other guys?
So, like I mentioned last podcast, I love the bullpen game. And I'm happy that they did it this time around, especially when you're going to Oklahoma State this upcoming weekend. I would like them to do it the rest of the season. unless there's a guy that they believe will give them five consistent innings every week from now on, I don't think you need to change anything, especially if we go up to Oklahoma State and the bullpen just looks like night and day. You know,
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I think, maybe they're kind of onto something with that with the bullpen game. I would like to see maybe let's let Ben Hampton start the game and at least go four innings, three, four innings, just because, if something was to happen to a weekend starter rotation guy, you got Luis Rodriguez who's been getting stretched out for four innings normally. But if something else happens, you kind of need someone that's been used to getting those innings in. And Ben Hampton's kind of only getting one inning here and there at a time right now, but I think maybe it's nice to keep him freshed up for that distance.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to do with some of the younger guys like Mason Bigsby. I think that's why he got the start, just to see if he can be one of those guys that goes four or five innings. Like
Yeah.
if Mason Bigsby, if he goes out and he strikes out three straight batters the second inning, do you think that he goes longer and that they abandon the bullpen game?
Yes, I think maybe if he doesn't get the three walks, I think maybe we see him pitch a little bit. He was only at 36 pitches before he came out of the game to begin with. He actually tied for the most pitches thrown in the game with Chase Hoover through 1.2 innings, and closest after that was Storm with 31, which Storm was kind of getting a little squeezed by the umpire. I think Storm looked really good. You and I were sitting there right behind home plate, and we saw it, and it was very good. Anything else you want to touch on for that Tuesday night game before we move on?
I'm good.
All right, cool. Let's move into some questions before we go into the Oklahoma State preview. First of all, was that lineup that we saw on Tuesday night, was the lineup you want to see for the rest of the season? And that lineup was Logan Maxwell leading off, Peyton Chatagnier, Curtis Burns, Anthony Silva, Carson Bowen, Chase Brunson, Brody Green, Ryder Robinson, and Sam Myers.
It's hard to say. I think it's still a little bit too early to kind of lock in a lineup. I would like to get one of the players on the podcast and just see how they feel about it, you know, because I feel like at the end of the day, it depends on how they feel about the lineup. Because I think Sarlos has mentioned it a couple times that he doesn't make the lineup, the players make the lineup. And
Yeah.
so if that's true, and if that's the lineup that they want to go with, by all means, go with that the rest of the season.
Yeah. I kind of like this lineup. Of course, I'd rather have Chatagnier at second base. We could put Ryder Robinson back at third and let Brody Green DH if he's still kind of treating a little bit of an injury. But I think this lineup that was constructed and put on the field Tuesday kind of gives them the best chance to win every game that they're going against. It keeps Peyton Tolley out of the DH spot so he can focus on pitching, keeps him healthy. Jack Passier's kind of had a little bit of a struggle recently that I think, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll slide him back in, on a Saturday matchup if the matchup plays well. But we talked to TJ Bruce, the assistant coach, after the game Tuesday night whenever Kirk Sellers got ejected, and he kind of just said that a lot of their lineup construction isn't based off who's struggling as much and who's hot at the time. It's kind of more so about they like to play matchups and individual things. Who does better against the right-handed pitcher, does better against the left-handed. That I think it just kind of gives them more options. Like they said, it's kind of a good problem to have where they have too many options.
Yeah, for sure.
Going into the next question, have the umpires became a problem for the Big 12 yet?
So I was not able to attend any of the Oklahoma games, so I couldn't really tell you from that standpoint. The midweeks have been horrid so far. Every single midweek, there has been umpire problems, inconsistency, bad strike zone. So I don't know about Big 12 umpires yet. I think I'll have to pay more attention to it this weekend just to see how it works out.
The midweek umpires are Big 12 umpires, so they fall under that.
They are Big 12.
As
Okay.
long as it's a home game for TCU, they are Big 12
Okay, then
umpires.
let me restate my answer.
Yeah,
Yes. Oh my God.
no,
Yes.
they've become a serious problem.
Oh.
I was sitting in the press box for the end of the Tuesday night game against UTA, and they have a live feed of where the ball is actually landing relative to the strike zone based off where
Oh
it's getting
no.
called.
Oh
And the
no.
amount of times I looked over and I saw it and I was like, wow, like that's three wrong in the last five pitches. Like
I'll suit up. I will. I
it is,
can do better.
I won't even be impartial. Like I just want the pitchers to be rewarded when they throw a good pitch.
Oh my gosh.
Like what's bad when there are TCU fans in the stands audibly groaning for a bad call while UTA is pitching. Like
Yeah.
it's horrendous. And I
I've
think,
seen that a couple times this season.
don't get me wrong, umpiring is very tough. It's very hard to do.
Yeah, it's difficult.
And I credit anyone who does it, but if you're gonna do it at a high level, you gotta be somewhat good at it.
So I actually talked with Ryan about the umpiring, and apparently there's a guy in the booth that his sole job is to grade umpires because like TCU, like UTA, they're trying to get to places like Omaha, their conference championship. Those umpires are being graded as well because they want to get to Omaha as well. Like that's the top of the mountain for college umpires. And so I found that really, really interesting.
I can promise you none of the ones for the TCU games are going to be in Omaha.
No, they won't.
And if they are, then I need to question whoever's grading them. All right, let's move on to the next question right now. Curtis Byrne, back-to-back home run games. Are we seeing the resurgence of Curtis Byrne? Is it, or you know, it's just kind of just a little hot streak going, or is this, you know?
I wouldn't really call it a resurgence. I would say it's just typical Curtis Byrne because even in the games that he wasn't hitting well, he was, well, I say wasn't hitting well, wasn't getting hits, he was still hitting the ball hard. Like I can picture multiple times in the past 5 or 6 games where Byrne has just lasered one to left or center field, just right to the guy. So I don't think it's really a resurgence, but I think he is probably the most consistent power hitter in the lineup right now.
Yeah, I do think it's actually funny because I turned to you and I was like, wow, we haven't really seen many home runs this season. I wanted to talk about it on this week's podcast on Thursday, and then they hit
Yeah.
two. Ryder Robinson hit his first one from the right side of the plate on the season and his first one at TCU. I think it's just something that TCU's never been a power team and they're not gonna be a power team, and you don't really expect the home runs from them. But Curtis Byrne has kind of been a reliable source that if one's going to get hit, it's going to be from him. That'll kind of do it for the questions. We didn't really have much. Like you said, Tuesday was kind of a, hey, you should have went in and won, and they did. And, you know, it kind of put them back on the right track. But let's go ahead and preview the TCU series coming up. TCU will travel to Stillwater, and they will play Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is 13-7 on the season. I believe they are. Yeah, they're currently tied for last, or not tied. They are second to last, but they only have one conference win as well, same as TCU. So it'll kind of be a battle in the basement this weekend. Oklahoma State's, you know, kind of everyone thinks they're bad. Carson, are they bad?
No. No, they are not bad. They are probably as good as Oklahoma, if not better, to be honest. I don't see how you can call this team bad when their losses are to Oregon State, DBU, and
A
UCF,
weekend
and
series
UC,
loss to, yeah.
UCF was playing really, really good baseball, who, by the way, beat Florida in a midweek game. Do with that information what you will.
Yeah, this is an Oklahoma State team that's kind of been counted out a little bit already. You know, Oklahoma State is always going to be a powerhouse in the conference for as far as it comes to baseball. They have a team batting average of 294, a team OPS of 864. They just kind of get the job done. They don't really, as for hitting, they don't really struggle in one thing and kind of excel at multiple. They hit a lot of home runs as a team. They're at 30 on the season already. They got a little bit of power. 24 for 31 on stolen bases on the season, on base percent of 384. So they're gonna get on base. They strike out more than they walk. By a good margin, 181 and 91. So that's one thing that TCU pitching staff will kind of be in an interesting battle with. They give up a lot of walks, but they also strike out a lot of batters. So it's going to be interesting to see. Is there anyone on the Oklahoma State staff that you're kind of keeping your eye out for hitting or pitching?
Pitching, it's Brian Holiday. JD can vouch before this podcast, I was looking through Oklahoma State's roster, just kind of seeing if anybody stuck out to me. My jaw dropped when I saw Brian Holiday's stats. This dude is a stud. 34 innings pitched, 37 Ks, and I believe an ERA of 1.83. Yay.
Yeah, TC will
This
be
dude,
facing a dominant starter on Friday night.
he's gonna be a problem. He is gonna be a big problem for TCU.
Yeah, one thing I did talk about is that his away stats, he's 0.64 when he's pitching away from the stadium, and at home he's got an ERA north of 3. You kind of don't really typically see that. Could be just he got shelled by Sam Houston State the first day, and it kind of set him back a little bit, but. Yeah, Brian Holiday's a problem. As far as it comes to like maybe a little bit of the other pitching staff members, don't worry. They're kind of middle of the pack. They have five or four relievers that throw or have under a 3 ERA on the season. They got Robert Kranz, who's got 16.1 innings pitched, 2.2 ERA, and opponent batting average of 182. Gabe Davis, or sorry. Gabe Davis. 2.95 ERA, 18.1 innings pitched, 169 opponent batting average, 20 walks or 20 strikeouts to 8 walks. This is a solid pitching staff.
Yeah, the I when I look at this pitching staff, I kind of see TCU and Oklahoma State kind of mirroring each other right here, where you've got your five or six go-to guys. And then after that, it's kind of just throwing whoever feels good out there. You know, I feel like this is going to be a very bullpen dependent game or
Yeah,
series.
I do think I am very, very excited for the Friday night game with Brian Holiday on the bump for Oklahoma State and Peyton Tolley on the bump for
Oh yeah,
TCU
that's
after
going to be
Peyton
good.
Tolley's performance last season. Brian Holiday's averaging seven innings pitched per appearance on the season so far. And, you know, if TCU will need to get to him early, so that way you can kind of see that bullpen a little bit more this weekend. But as far as the hitters on Oklahoma State, they got some dudes. Aiden Miola, the second baseman, 391 average on the year, 3 home runs. He struck out 18 times, walked 7, 4 doubles. I mean, the dude hits. He rakes. He's not gonna blow you away with his power, but he's gonna get on base.
Yeah, him and Carson Benj, those two guys are going to be probably the dudes to circle on the lineup card. For TCU, I feel like it's Logan Maxwell and Brody Green if he plays,
Yeah.
just because of how consistent they've been. But OSU definitely hits more home runs. TCU is going to have to play small ball.
Yeah, I think like you kind of made the comment, it's a mirrored matchup, and I kind of feel that you got a lineup that is consistent on both sides and two dudes who are just gonna lead the pack. But at the same time, both pitching staffs are pretty much the exact same. Carson, is this a must-win series for TCU already?
I think it's a must-win series for both teams. Like, I feel like both of these teams are still trying to figure out their identity, trying to figure out how good they are. I feel like this series is gonna, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like super regional vibes this weekend, just because of the history between these teams, the series that they've been in. I expect fireworks in this one.
Yeah, I've expected fireworks in the last two series. I'm still waiting on them. Hopefully they're coming. But
You're waiting on good fireworks.
yeah, we saw a lot of fireworks not for TCU last weekend.
Yeah.
I do think it's a must-win series for TCU, and like you said, for both teams. Oklahoma State, they've only played, you know, one conference series this weekend or this season already. TCU's already playing on their third. And already being in last place, 1-5 on the season is not a good look already. When you still got Texas to play, Tech, Kansas State, West Virginia. They got a tough slate. They kind of drew, you know, about some bad straws. But I do think you know, what's your prediction on the weekend?
See, I'm still struggling with it because I want so desperately to buy in to the win on Tuesday and say that TCU is back, but I don't know. I feel weird about this series. I think since it's in Stillwater, I think TCU loses the series 1-2.
That would put TCU at 2-7 on conference play already on the season. Not a good look, Bob. Not a good look.
Yeah, sweeps hurt, JD. Sweeps
Yeah,
hurt.
sweeps hurt, and
They also hurt my confidence, so
yeah, that was and losing the opening weekend to Kansas. Hey, but you know,
I
opening
mean,
weekend, that doesn't count.
no, I mean, if you were we've talked about this before. If you would have told me that Oklahoma, Houston, and Kansas State would be at the top of the Big 12 2 to 3 weeks in, I would call you crazy and then probably just never talk to you again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oklahoma's came out to a resurgence. Houston has drawn some easy teams to play so far in conference play. I'm not going to say anything else about it. But some of those are a little bit overinflated numbers. I think TCU will turn it around. I'm going with TCU sweeps this weekend.
Oh,
Brody Green's in the lineup. He's got
he
enough
went with
to
it.
he's
Oh,
got
I
enough
love
to
it.
challenge it. TCU sweeps. That puts them back
Okay.
at That puts them at 4-5 in conference play, right back in the middle. They're right in the mix of things. Even a
Okay.
win this weekend puts them at 3-6. It's still not pretty, but it's better than losing the series this weekend and, you know, being 2-7.
Yeah,
Not a good look.
I do feel like with this series, I feel like whoever wins the first game, I feel like their chances to sweep go up dramatically.
I don't
Like
even think
I
it's who wins the first game. I think it's who can get the starting pitcher out the earliest and get to the bullpen? Because both these guys Friday night are dominant starters.
you think it's that early?
I think it's that early.
Okay. I mean, you can kind of see why though,
Yeah.
because I mean, both teams' go-to guys out of the pen haven't been kind of themselves since last year. TCU with Ben Abelt, Oklahoma State. I'm not sure who their go-to guy is. I guess it would be Robert Kranz.
Yeah, that's what it seems.
Yeah, that seems to be the guy. So, I mean, I feel like whoever gets past those guys first just will automatically win that first game. But yeah, for first game is the key, I think, in this series.
Yeah, no, I think you're looking at like it's kind of interesting when you think about the Friday matchup, is you got Peyton Tolley going against an Oklahoma State team who doesn't really walk much and strikes out a whole bunch, which plays into his favor. And then you got Brian Holiday, who barely walks anyone, strikes out a ton of guys. And TCU's gonna work counts. They're looking for a walk. It's kind of the tale of two tapes right there. And whichever pitcher comes out victorious to stay in the game longer is, you know, we're still waiting to see Peyton Tolley go into the seventh inning.
Yep.
And I think maybe if there's a game to do it, it's this game. He got you through 100 pitches last Friday. Arm's feeling good. He's got the stamina. Let's see him get into it.
Yeah, for sure.
What worries you more about this weekend? If the pitching is still struggling, or if the hitting has another bad weekend and they lose the series?
So what would I be more worried about if
If TCU
either?
lost, if TCU lost or got swept this weekend, but it was due to
Okay.
only one pitching or hitting, which worries you more?
It would worry me more, I think, if it was because of the pitching. I will always believe, if you can't tell already from my past four or five, what are you more worried about predictions? Pitching wins you baseball games. Pitching is what gets you to the Big 12 championship. Pitching is what gets you to super regionals and eventually the College World Series. If the pitchers go out and they look just abysmal like the last couple of weekends, I'm raising the red flag on just the pitching staff as a whole. I don't think that'll happen because I do think that the pitching is going to look a lot better than last weekend. But that would definitely worry me more.
Yeah, I think, you know, normally I try to say hitting would worry me more, but I think it would kind of be the pitching again. And not even, TCU gives up a lot of runs this weekend, but it's because they're getting hit around a lot. Hey, that's a win in my book. But if they're allowing runs by not walking by walking people, then I'm gonna say, hey, we gotta go maybe full panic mode. We gotta talk some things over because, you know, we've talked about it. It feels like every podcast now how the walks have kind of become an issue. And at some point it's gotta change. And if you lose the series this weekend and you're looking at 2-7 down the barrel, and a lot of it is because of your walks, then that's a hard hole to come out of when you can't stop allowing people on base.
Yeah, absolutely.
Carson, anything else you want to touch on for this Oklahoma State preview before we move on?
Think I'm good. I think the key to the weekend for TCU is to play small ball and score first.
Yeah, I believe the key for this weekend is starting pitching. Peyton Tolley needs a big start. Cole Klecker needs a bounce back game, and Braden Sloan we need that dominant Braden Sloan to come
Yep.
out.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about let's I'm gonna tell you the series going on this weekend in the Big 12. I need you to make your prediction for me, okay? And we're gonna grade you on Monday. TCU Oklahoma State, you already said Oklahoma State. We got UCF at Kansas.
UCF.
UCF, okay. Kansas State at Houston. Your two top dogs battling it out up there.
Whoa. I'm gonna take Houston at home.
Houston, okay, I like it. BYU at Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. For
Off a weekend, series loss to Baylor. I like it. Bounce back, right?
that series didn't happen. All right.
Yeah.
We can just go ahead and throw that one
I wish
out.
they both would have lost. Baylor at Texas.
Texas.
Yeah. Well, we were confident last week picking against them too.
I think home field advantage, I think, is so big in the Big 12. I feel like SEC, I feel like you can,
Except for
like,
TCU.
you didn't have to say it.
Yeah, I felt like I needed to there.
I feel like in the SEC, I feel like it's a lot easier to go into somebody's house and beat them. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but I feel like Big 12 home field advantage is big.
It's not as big, like you said, not as big as SEC, but I think it definitely plays into it. Last series of the weekend, West Virginia at Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Is Oklahoma staying perfect in conference play after this weekend, or do you think they drop one?
West Virginia is taking at least one.
Okay. I like that. All right. Now let's get into our MVP recap for the Tuesday night game. So this is interesting. Carson, for the pitching side, there were eight TCU pitchers who came into the game. Me, you, and Nate managed to pick the three that didn't.
Yes.
You picked Louis Rodriguez, I picked Colt Taylor, and Nate picked Andrew Mosiello. No three of those came into pitch, which is kind of impressive. And
So,
honestly,
okay, you said Nate picked Colt Taylor, right?
I picked Colt Taylor.
You picked Colt Taylor. Okay. Colt Taylor did warm up.
He did. He did.
He did
I
warm
got
up.
excited because I was like, that's an
I
easy win for me. The rest aren't going to come in.
feel like, okay, call me crazy. We just need to start on the midweek games. We need to pick either hitting or pitching.
Yeah. Okay.
Just pick which one performed better.
Okay. I like that. Well, yeah. Okay. I like that. Because as for hitting, I ran away with this one.
Yes. Yes, you did.
I picked Brody Green. I even tweeted the clip of me picking Brody Green. I got confidence in him, you know? I got to. So I get a point for that one. The point going now into the third weekend of conference play. You're at 2.5 points, I'm at 4 points, and the guests are at 2.5 points. Let's go ahead and make our picks for this upcoming weekend. Let's go with hitting first. Start it off.
You go first on this one. You go first.
I'm staying hot, Brody Green.
I wonder why.
He plays it. He's gonna play in every game this weekend.
Okay. Good. I hope that he never leaves the lineup. I
Yeah.
really do.
He's a valuable piece of this team that, you know, we
Yes.
saw that for a little bit, and it's not the coaching staff's fault that he got hurt, of course. And
Yeah.
obviously it's with it being a long season, you gotta let him get healthy before you bring him back in. But he just adds such a different dynamic to this group that, you know, he was kind of the fire starter on Tuesday. You know, you needed that.
Yeah, I think for my hitting MVP, I think I'm going to go Sam Myers. He has not he hasn't been as explosive as his beginning weeks. I think he bounces back against Oklahoma State, and I think he has some good weekend.
Yeah, it's MIRC. I don't want to say he slowed down. He still has a .311 batting average. I think a lot of the Sam Myers hype is because he has the two walk-offs already. You know, he's kind of been doing big things already. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I just kind of mean like he's been quietly good, like quietly really good as a true freshman.
Yeah.
Let's go with pitching MVP.
So I'm not gonna pick like a. I'm probably just gonna stick with starters. I want Braden Sloan to dominate so bad that I'm probably just gonna try and will it into existence with this prediction. I'm gonna take Braden Sloan. I think Sunday matchup, I think he performs. I don't think it's his best outing, but I think he does just enough for TCU to win on Sunday.
Call me crazy, but I think TCU jumps out to a big enough lead Sunday against the Oklahoma State starter that it kind of helps settle him into the game. And I think he kind of has that good start that we've been looking for since that midweek game.
I'm all for it.
As for me, I'm also going to stay in the starting pitcher department. I'm going Cole Klecker. I wanted to pick Peyton Tolley, but when you're having a deal against Brian Holiday, it's kind of a lot to stare down. And I think I'm kind of doing the same thing with Cole Klecker you're doing Braden Sloan. I'm kind of trying to will it into existence that we're going to see that prime Cole Klecker form that we saw at the end of the season last season.
Yeah.
All right. I think that about does it for this episode. Kind of a shorter one. Anything else you want to touch on before we kind of close this thing out?
I'm good. Well, I think we summarized it pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it. Thank you guys for listening. You can find us at killerfrogs.com. Listen on Apple, Spotify, and we will be back Monday night to recap the weekend and look in. I don't even know. Does TCU have a midweek game next week, Carson, before we close this? I
Let me
need to
find
look.
Out for you.
I'm
Let me find out real quick.
TCU does not have a midweek game.
Yeah, they do not.
Because they play on Thursday night, starting Thursday night against Houston. So no midweek game. So we'll probably just do one really long episode on like Tuesday night so we can get out the recap and the preview for the weekend. So we will see you guys then. Thanks for listening. And as always, we appreciate you guys. Yeah, there it is.